Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir for Parshas Vayetze. We'll be looking at the Sefer Zeved Tov by Rav Zelv Wolf Popers. We'll call him Rav Zelv Wolf. So the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf, says, Vatomer Leia Zvadani Elokim Osi Zeved Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a good portion. Hapam Yizbaleini Ish Ishi Kilarati Lo Shishavanim. This time my husband Yaakov will live with me because now I have six sons. And we know that meant that Leah will have the most sons and Yaakov will lie with her, will be with her more. So Zeved Tov refers to a good portion. Rashi says Zeved Tov is Kitargumo, which Unculus says means Cholek Tov, a good portion. And the Hagdama to Rav Zev Wolf's Sefer Zeved Tov al HaTorah, he says that he called the Sefer Zeved Tov besides for the obvious reason that the Sefer is the chilek of all of his hard work. It's a Zeved Tov. It's a good portion. It shows his hard work and toil. But also he named it Zeved Tov as a remez to his name and his parents' name. As Zeved stands for Zev, which is him, Bluma, his mother, and Dov, his father, to remember his parents who raised him, B'chol HaTov. It also writes in the Hagdama that the Popper family came from a very miyuchas lineage, a very royal lineage. Rav Yitzchak Isaac was from the Shapiro family of the Megala Mukos. There was a Rav Meir who was a Talmud of the Arizal. So they really came from a line of Gedolim. Interestingly, I found two tshuvos where Rav Zev Wolf actually asked a question. So the first one is in the Shut Maria Levi, which is Rav Yitzchak Aaron HaLevi Ettinger. So Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Beis. So Rav Ettinger was born in Lemberg in 1827. He was the son of the Mamer Mordechai. He was the brother-in-law of Rav Yosef Shalom Nathanson, who co-authored the Ne'er Maravi and the Magen Giborim. He was a Rav in the city of Premijel in Galicia, which became part of Poland. Then he was a rabbi in Lvov. He passed away in 1891. So he has a tshuva, but he responds to Rav Zev Wolf, Poppers, in Elul of 1863, and he calls Rav Zev Wolf a Rav HaMuflag BaTorah, V'yira HaMafur L'Tehila Ma'od. And the shaila was that Rav Zev Wolf asked was that there was a Sefer Torah that in Parshas Ha'azinu on the phrase V'amar E Elohimo. So the Sofer, so there's a halacha when he's writing the Sefer Torah that a Sofer, when he's writing the Shem Hashem, he should have kavana that this is a Shem Hashem and this is Kadosh. So the Sofer, when he wrote Elohimo, so he had kavana for Chol. He didn't have kavana that was a Shem Hashem. And the Shiloh was, what's the din? So Rav Zev Wolf noted that Rashi on that pasuk actually says that Elohimo is actually a Lashon of Chol. Rashi says Elohimo refers to the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped. And this is the Mincha Shai, the Tshuva Me'ava, the Beis Aaron. They all say like this. However, Rav Zev Wolf Shaila was, they found in one sefer called the Ksasa Sofer that maybe it really does Elohimo refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, Misafek, a Sofer, should really have Kavana to treat the name as Kodesh. So the Shaila was, what do you do? So Rav Yitzchak Aaron Alevi Ettinger, he responds that Rashi, at the end of Hazinu, actually brings on Achlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya, quoted in the Sifri, what's going on here. And Nehemiah says, Elohimo is going on Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we pass on the Rabbi Yehuda that says it's going on, like Rashi says, it's going on Avodah Zarah. We pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, so it wouldn't be a problem. So the Sefer Torah is kosher, no problem, even though the Kavana was not for Kadosh. A second tshuva I found, which is in the Shalshuva's Beis Yitzchak, of Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis, in Arachayim Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. So Rav Shmelkis was born in 1827 in Galicia. He was a close student of Rav Yaakov Orenstein, the author of the Yeshua's Yaakov. He was also Rav in Premishel. In 1894, he became a Rav in Lemberg. He passed away in 1905. So in this tshuva, he responds to Rav Zev Wolf. He calls him a Rav HaCharif Ubaki Yirei V'Chered L'Dvar Hashem Mushlam Malos Umidos. The shaila was that Rav Zev Wolf asks was that there was a situation where they had a bathhouse. There was a place where they would bathe, they would shower, they would use the facilities, and then there was an outer room that was almost like the antechamber to going outside. And apparently someone had set up shop in the bathroom area selling drinks. And the shaila was, is that permitted? What's the shaila? Well, if people are in the bathhouse, then presumably they won't be making a bracha there. So is the seller being machshil the people that they might drink without a bracha, thereby violating the isra of lifnei iver, lo sisein michshol? You're causing people to stumble by selling them a drink when they're probably not going to make a bracha. And according to the Minchas Chinuch, even being machshil someone in isra derabanan is a violation of lifnei iver d'oraisa. So it was very long tshuva, but very quickly, Rav Shmalkis first says that we know one of the rules with lifnei iver has to be trei avad danara. It has to be that the person that you supplied the isser to could not have done the isser without you. So here, why can't these people get drinks elsewhere? So maybe it's not trei avad danara. Well, there's still an issue of being misayim and the rabbanon, but then he says, how do we define trei avad danara? Maybe since right now there are no other drinks available except for the one you're selling, maybe that is considered trei avad danara. So maybe that's not a good heter, Shmelka says. However, he does note that the Taz in Simon Samach Beis writes that if one is thirsty in the middle of the night and one has to wash the Tehillas Yadayim before he eats or drinks anything, but he doesn't have any water to wash the Tehillas Yadayim to make him fit to say the bracha, he can be maharher the bracha and drink. He could think the bracha and drink. He doesn't have to verbalize it. But not in a bathhouse. But if it's an onis, that even though normally it's usher to be maharher a bracha in the bathhouse, because you're not allowed to think Torah in the bathhouse, if you have nowhere else to go, it could be it's mutter. So Rav Shmelka says, if hirhur is mutter, so then maybe we could allow this seller to sell the drinks in the bathhouse. Why do you think people will make a bracha? Maybe they'll rely on the Taz, and the purchaser will be careful to be maharher in the bracha. However, he does quote the Beis Yosef, who says that even in a case of ones, you cannot be maharher in the bathroom. It would be better to drink without a bracha than to be maharher the bracha in the bathhouse. It's a very detailed discussion, but this was one of the questions that Rav Zev Wolf asked Rav Shmelkis. We'll quote several limudim from his Svarim Zeved Tov. He has two chalakim. He has one chalak al HaTorah, and he has one chalak of his chidushim on Shas. So first, in his chidushim on Shas, so we'll quote two from early on in the Gemara in Brachos. So first in Brachos Daf Hamad Aleph, the Gemara says that if a person experiences Yesurim, a person experiences trials and tribulations and tragedies, he should check his Maisim, Yefash Rishon Masav, see if he did anything wrong. And if he doesn't find anything wrong with his Maisim, he should assume the issue is Bittul Torah. So Rav Zev Wolf asks, I don't get it, Bittul Torah is also a sin. So when one was checking his Maisim, how come he didn't discover Bittul Torah? What does it mean? He checked his Maisim, he doesn't find anything, and then he should find Bittul Torah? So he explains that it means even if Bittul Torah is through an onis, out of your control, you have to work because of Parnasa, you're raising your children, there's no time to learn. Nevertheless, the Bittul Torah, even Ba'onis, causes one to forget his learning. He simply won't know the halachos, and he'll come to sin. Since there's so many din and there's so many halachos that you can't help but violate if you don't learn and know the halachos. And he says, this also explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Yafa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, Shiyagia Shnehem Mishkachas Avon. Meaning if someone only deals with work the whole day in Derech Eretz, so then he'll sin because he doesn't know what the halachos are. If you only learn Torah though, you'll get taken advantage of in the real world. You'll believe people when they tell you things that might not be true. In a court case, you'll be a walkover. So therefore, you need to have a good combination of learning, but also derech eretz. And in that way, you can be protected from sin in both worlds, in both directions. A second limud, the Gemara Brachos in Daf Lamed Amud Beis says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a shul. If he doesn't find Asara B'nai Adam, 10 people in the shul, Miyad Kois. Kosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So the Mefarshim ask, how's that possible? The Gemara elsewhere tells us that when there are 10 people in a shul, Makdim Shechina, the Shechina is there before them. So I don't get it. Is Shechina there before the 10 people? Or is he coming later and getting angry? Because if he's always coming before the 10, then he should always get angry because he's not going to find the 10 there. So Rav Zev Wolf answers that when we say Kadma Shechina, it doesn't mean that the Shechina gets there before the 10. It means the Shechina is nisgala to them before they begin to daven, meaning that there's a special extra kedusha, extra sanctity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants a minyan right before they daven. They'll feel a certain elevated level of kedusha. Alternatively, Rav Zev Wolf says, you could say that if at least 10 people regularly come, so the Shechina comes first. But he's not angry that 10 people aren't there yet, because he knows, oh, Reuven's coming, Shimon's coming. But once Reuven or Shimon, who's supposed to come, doesn't show up, then Miad Koes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for each and every one of us to come to Shul. And finally, we'll quote a Dvar Torah that he has on Parshas Vayetze, in the Parsha. So we know that Yaakov wakes up in the morning, Vihine Leia, and behold, it's Leia. He was tricked, Laban tricked him. So one of the Rishon in the Riva, he says that, how did Yaakov get fooled? Doesn't make any sense. He says, because of the tremendous tznius of Yaakov, that he didn't speak with his wife the whole night during Tashmish. When they were engaged in a very holy act, they didn't speak. So he didn't have the opportunity to recognize and distinguish Rachel's voice from Leah's voice. And that's how Yaakov got confused. However, Zev Wolf says, the Zohar writes that a person has to speak with his wife before Tashmish to make sure it's the right woman. Several Gemaras also indicate that way. They're supposed to speak B'Kol Ram. There's a certain foreplay involved where the husband and the wife, they speak. And one of the purposes of this is to identify that this, in fact, is your wife. So how was it mutter for Yaakov Avinu to have Tashmish with what he thought was Rachel, but really was Leah, without hearing her voice? So, Rav Zev Wolf says, this is a proof to the Medrash in Eicha, which says, I think this is really wild, that Rachel, the mysterious nefesh she had for her sister, she actually went and hid under the bed that night, and she would answer on behalf of Leah. Anything that Yaakov asked her, Rachel would call out from under the bed, so Yaakov would think it's really Rachel, because he would hear Rachel's voice. However, the Medrash Rabban Vayetze sounds like Leah spoke herself, as it says that Yaakov asked her a question, and she said, Hineni. So what happened? So Zev Wolf says it could be that the word Hineni alone, that wasn't enough for Yaakov Avinu to identify who it was. So all she said was Hineni, and everything else Rachel would say from under the bed. But then he asks another question. Tzarachian, how could Yaakov not distinguish and realize that the voice he was hearing was coming from under the bed as opposed to the woman who was in the bed with him? So Rav Zev Wolf says you have to say that during the act of Tashmish, there was no speaking. Like the Riva said, that was tznius, that during Tashmish itself, there should be no speaking. And that's what we're referring to when the Gemara says it's a chiyuv to speak to one's wife. That's before Tashmish. That's when you get in the bedroom. That's to joke around, to become intimate in that way. And at those moments, that's when Rachel would respond for Leah. It was dark in the room. Leah was a bit of a distant way away from Yaakov. So when she would respond, it would come from Rachel. But Leah was a little bit far away anyway, and therefore Yaakov couldn't really distinguish who the voice was coming from. Once Yaakov and Rachel got into bed, then all Leah said was Hineni. That wasn't enough for Yaakov to distinguish who the voice was. And then during Tashmish, there was no speaking. And that's putting together the Zohar and different Midrashim, it could be that's how Yaakov got confused. That's a little bit about the Sefer Zeved Tov and Rav Zev Wolf Poppers.